Welcome to the Angry Admins podcast for September 4th, 2007, episode 41. Welcome back, everybody, to the Angry Admins podcast. It's back to us, the faithful two. No guests this week.
Yes, we are all alone.
So sad. As always, my name is Joe Bibby.
And my name is Ryan Necessary.
And we are coming to you from Houston, Texas. It has been very hot here and very rainy.
If you can imagine both together.
I mean, you know, imagine the worst possible swamp, and then imagine living there. That's us.
Imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger versus the Predator, and both of them saying, "We're not going to shoot each other because it's just too hot and muggy in this jungle."
Yeah, and then have it be all concrete everywhere.
Yes.
Anyway, but I did have some good things happen. You know, I've got U-verse now, which I talked about. Yes. What was that? 3 months ago, I was like, "Yeah, I got U-verse. It's coming in next week." That's a whole saga. I won't go into the details, but so far I'm very happy with it. U-verse is the, of course, IPTV, comes in over your phone line, and it's kind of a data TV service. And I've been happy with it so far, so we'll see.
Nice.
We may do a review of it later on if it's worthy of the Angry Admins.
Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. But enough of that. Let's move into the news. First story is pretty interesting. Though, doesn't really mean a whole lot. Found this on, I don't remember where I found it, but we will have a link. That Linux market share is set to surpass Windows 98. Oh, yes. Windows 98. And OS X, actually, is still ahead of Vista. So, what does that mean? It means Linux is still, this is still not the year of Linux. And probably there never will be a year of Linux.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just the people that need it use it. Yeah, and, you know, don't expect grandma to fire up, you know, Linux and have little penguins everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody's been saying this is the year of the Linux desktop for, what, the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? I don't know.
Yeah.
Seems like I've always heard that that's coming, but either way, it's surpassed Windows 98, which is no longer supported or installed. So, good job, Linux. And Vista is still slow, but it will catch up soon.
Right. Next up, if you think your internet is fast, you're wrong, especially if you live in the United States, because on average in Japan, especially Tokyo, the internet service they have there for broadband is 30 times as fast as what we have here in the U.S. And also, the real slap in the face is it's cheaper. throughout history, they've had some, events that have sort of let them take advantage of circumstances, one of which being bombed by the U.S. during World War II. They pretty much had to start over. So their whole country was sort of like wiped the slate clean. They rebuilt it from scratch in an efficient way that was going to sort of down the line help them lay out new technologies or be easily upgradable. The lines and the wire that are going to all the houses and neighborhoods around Tokyo are like higher quality. Mm-hmm. And also they already have like greater penetration of like fiber optics. So if you don't have fiber to the curb, you have fiber very close to you.
Right.
So that last little bit kind of what's happening with your U-verse lets your DSL be faster and cleaner and run better. So there's that. And also at one point, they said that the Japanese government sort of took over the whole infrastructure build up instead of letting private telephone companies handle it. And then recently they've kind of gone the other way, but at the perfect time, the right people had it, the right money was there. It was subsidized at the right times so that it could grow and just really be efficient and really permeate everything. Now, this being said, they do have an advantage over the U.S. in that they're only the size of Montana.
Right.
You know, so when you're dealing with a much smaller area, it's easier to like, well, look how perfect it is, you know. So the other thing being that most of it is all industrialized or urbanized areas. So they're not trying to network super high-speed stuff way out into the middle of quote-unquote nowhere, like the U.S. would have to try to do if we tried to bring high-speed internet to Montana. But anyway, that's Japan. If you really want some fast internet, go to Japan, because like all their stuff, all their they can watch high-def television all over DSL, as many channels as they want.
Yeah,
they have telemedicine where the doctors can, you know, look at a giant monitor and diagnose patients, you know, from great distances and stuff. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, what they have is what we were promised. And it's what the, you know, the telecommunication companies kind of told everyone they were going to be bringing. And now they're like, well, we don't have enough bandwidth to even provide the services we've sold.
Right.
I mean, you know, my service that I just got, it is actually a, I think it's a 20 megabit connection that I actually have, but, you know, most of that is tied up with the TV service.
Right.
But I can still only watch one HD stream at one time, you know, versus, you know, in Japan, they can watch pretty much as much as they want. So that's interesting. I'm jealous, very, very jealous. But Intel has a new, what they're calling the CSI, and that is not the criminal guys who go around and like
CSI look Los at your Angeles?
DNA and
special with victims
the,
unit
with the glowing blue lights in the background. No. Right. This is the Common Systems Interconnect. Basically, this is Intel finally firing back at AMD, who has been really killing Intel in the server space when it comes to multi-processor servers. AMD had their Opteron plus the HyperTransport combination that really got big, I want to say 2 years ago, and kind of took out, surprised everybody, and beat out Intel on speedwise on multiprocessor servers. So this is Intel finally coming back with some research and showing a white paper that they're going to, sometime late next year or early 2009, they'll be releasing this new system. Basically what it is a new link between multiple processors. So you won't really see this much on the home front or even on the workstation front, because those are mostly multiprocessors on a single socket.
Right.
This is really designed to connect multiple sockets together to be able to share cache and share information quickly to increase bandwidth. So, you know, this really would actually, the way it's designed from what I understand, would actually hurt a little bit in the home market, because it actually separates the GPU away from the CPU a little bit more, and would actually slow down gaming and some of that kind of thing. So, you know, we may see some of this trickle down on chip, but I doubt we'll see this actual exact technology in the future at home. But in the server space, they're saying it will actually allow Intel to finally surpass AMD again in the server space when it comes to multiprocessor. And that's important because Intel actually only holds as little as 50% of the market for multiprocessor servers, which is amazing that AMD was able to do that.
Right.
So
that is kind of cool. If speaking of the market, pretty soon on the market, I think September, October time frame, your phone finally starts seeing the Windows Home Server boxes. So this is the, we talked about this earlier, this is the Windows Home Server kind of operating system thing that they're letting different hardware manufacturers use to create kind of a small network attached box at home to let you store your media files and your music and back up your data and all this kind of stuff. Among the people who are offering some of the early models are HP, MaxData, Medion, Fujitsu, and they're all kind of coming out with their own little square, clunky looking box that will run Windows Home Server. So anyway, look for that this fall. They're coming out. None of them really have much, I guess, super newsworthy about any of them to distinguish each other.
Yeah.
But we'll see when they hit the shelves if any of them really are stylish or super functional or have anything over each other that puts one person ahead. But right now, I think it's pretty much just a toss-up.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like most of them were, you know, similar to what a lot we're seeing from, like, the Infrared Ready NAS.
Right.
Where it's a little, well, it was quite a bit bigger than those. But it's four hard drives, you know, kind of designed to share over the network with more functionality thrown in. And if they price these right, if they undercut some of those NAS devices we're seeing, like, you know, the TerraStation and that kind of thing.
Right.
they really got a good market, but if they're a lot more, I just don't see this being successful. So I hope they price it right, because it's a good idea, but, you know, somebody will beat it. So San Francisco, we have been hearing about San Francisco, how they're going to get this amazing free Wi-Fi from Google and Earthlink. We even talked about this in episode 1 in the fabled Tropos segment. Don't go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
So Earthlink is backing completely out of their contract negotiations. Apparently San Francisco was trying to, you know, really contribute nothing and get Earthlink and Google to pay for it all. And Earthlink was finally realizing that with this business plan, they were going to lose money for forever. So they've backed out completely. And this actually hits home for us, because Earthlink was also supposed to be rolling out citywide Wi-Fi here in Houston.
Right.
And that was supposed to be happening this summer, which has not happened. And Earthlink actually has to pay Houston $5 million. But on the good side, according to Earthlink, the deal they have with Houston is more like what they really want with other cities, because Houston has actually paid Earthlink some money up front to do this. So hopefully they follow through.
Instead of like a what was it, San Francisco, where they're like, well, you pay for everything and right. the bandwidth and the right. infrastructure, and then we'll just use mm-hmm. it.
So I guess the deal is Houston agreed to pay, you know, to use the service over the next 2 or 3 years for government use, whereas none of the other cities have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have that committed usage in Houston, whereas everywhere else it's just like, well, maybe we'll get people to sign up and maybe we won't.
Right. So, wow.
We'll see how that rolls out. But citywide Wi-Fi seems like it's not really delivering ever. You know, you keep hearing about it, but no one's ever really had it successfully happen.
This week for our feature story, I thought we'd take a few minutes to talk about sort of behind the scenes of Angry Admins, and about sort of what we learned over the past year for podcasting, doing the show, some of the tools that we use, and some of the sort of difficulties we've had and reasons we've gone in different directions. So I guess we'll kind of get started with sort of the history of where the show came from. I guess for my part, after Joe and I started working together, we would pretty much on a daily basis have these conversations about, can you believe they're doing this? And what is Gateway thinking? And, you know, did you try this game? And what's up with this new Mac? And that looks cool. No, it doesn't. So we would always have these conversations. And then Joe really kind of got me listening to a lot more podcasts and kind of into more website tech-driven stuff that I didn't know about. And then it sort of naturally evolved into, why don't we do a podcast? Because, mm-hmm. you know, why just have these conversations? Why don't we just go ahead and podcast all this stuff? So that's sort of where that came from. And I guess we got started last October.
Yeah, it's coming up to a year almost.
Yeah, it's almost been a year. It's crazy. But Joe, why don't you sort of throw your 2 cents in on kind of when we were getting started?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had been listening to podcasts a little bit before I moved down here. And I mean, on my drive down here, all I did was listen to podcasts. And mm-hmm. it was like still fresh and exciting. And, you know, I got down here and that was all I wanted to talk about. I was, hey, did you hear about this and this and this? And,
right.
You know, it was exciting because it was finally some news from somewhere besides, you know, some unknown website, or, you know, it wasn't just the cheesy news you got on tech TV at the time.
Right.
So it was exciting. You know, we had, like you had said, we had been talking back and forth, and this was all also around the time when the new Intel Macs were coming out.
Right.
And neither of us were Mac users at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I know from my side, I was very excited about the Mac Switch. So I had finally, you know, I finally bit the bullet and bought a Mac for home. And I started messing around with it and looking at GarageBand, and I was like, you know, this makes it really easy to make a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started talking about it, and I think you actually kind of brought it up first after I mentioned, you know, GarageBand and the Mac. And,
right.
You know, you said you already had a mixer, and,
mm-hmm.
You know, it just kind of naturally evolved into, well, let's just try it. You know, why not?
Well, part of it, too, was that I had bought the black MacBook.
Right.
My little 13-inch black MacBook the day they came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I got mine in May.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like June, July, August, September,
I guess it was
October.
A while still before we started, wasn't it?
And I think it just was always on my mind because we had like, well, you know, I've got GarageBand on this little Mac, you know, and we could always try that out. And
right, right. I had bought, you know, I had mine for like a month or two before you got your black one. And I was thinking about it, but I just didn't, we just never went over the hump with it.
Right.
I don't even know what pushed us over eventually.
I think we were just so bored.
Yeah.
That fall.
I think you're right.
We weren't super busy at work at that time because the fall is kind of when we slow down.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, what are you doing? And I'm, you know, I'm not doing anything during the week. Well, let's just try it out. Let's just see what happens. Right. I think we just kind of wanted to play with it.
Yeah. We, you know, we had talked about trying to prep for it a little bit, and I had worked on the website before we recorded the first week. But we didn't really know what we were doing.
Right.
You know, we didn't have a plan. We just looked up some news stories, and, you know, we were looking at the wireless stuff at work with the Tropos equipment. We're like, well, we can talk about that, and blah. Yeah, and, I mean, I guess we learned a lot of things that first episode.
Right.
Not to do.
Right. So the story there, the reason we always make jokes about the first episode, because it was actually, you're hearing this the second time we did it.
Yes.
Because the first time we went through the entire episode, we had audio issues, computer issues, GarageBand issues.
Right.
We just had all these problems. So in the end, we wound up scrapping it and deciding, let's just start over.
Yeah.
So by then, we were so frustrated and so tired that it came across as being very draggy.
I mean, that was like 4 hours after we sat down and hit record.
Right. And on average now, we record a show probably in 2 hours.
Yeah.
And that's with all the planning and the taking a break and this and that. So that was a very long night.
Yeah, it was. So, yeah, that episode, that's why we always make fun of it. But
yeah, you were working on the website, and then, you know, we shopped for some microphones, some decent microphones.
Yeah, you found these, the microphones, you know, until a couple of weeks ago, we were using both of those still.
Mm-hmm.
Until we needed a third one, and they've been great. You know, it was a nice little almost podcast kit that came with a little stand and a cable, and you could even plug them directly into your computer if you needed to. So those have been, what brand were those?
These are the MXL V63 MBP.
Yeah, and you can still get those if you go to, what was it, musiciansfriend.com.
Right.
They still sell the kit. You know, it's a pretty good deal for a nice condenser mic that produces good sound in a room that is not a studio.
Right. And we wanted mics that, you know, weren't super high-end because we didn't know if we were going to keep going with it.
Right.
But we didn't want to start with, you know, just some crappy cardioid,
right,
you know,
$20
mics.
Yeah, yeah.
We wanted it to sound better than that.
Right.
And then I already had a mixer.
Which was a big help.
Right. And I don't even remember why. It's one of these little 4-channel Eurorack mixers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember why I bought it. To
you
be
probably
honest.
Got it when you were thinking about, like, you know, shooting some video footage and that kind of stuff.
I must have.
Although, I don't know why.
Oh, you know why? It. Because there was a time I thought I was going to be doing short films.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I bought it.
Which you may still do.
Yeah, we'll see. So that's where that mixer came from.
So the mixer's nice because, so I guess maybe now's a good time to kind of go over our actual setup.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two mics going into a 4-channel mixer that we then mix together, which comes out a single line out to the MacBook, your little black MacBook.
Yeah, usually.
Comes in just to the line in, and we record that directly into GarageBand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing fancy. We don't have anything crazy going on there. We're not doing multi-channel or multi-track recording.
Right.
Because we realized that would just make more work.
It's harder to edit.
Yeah, right.
Although it is more work on the front trying to balance me and Joe on
True.
The audio.
Yeah.
So.
But I think we've gotten pretty good at balancing that audio. And you found, what was that app you use sometimes to balance out the audio?
Oh, yeah. So Levelator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ever have something that's, the volume is sort of weird in a wave or an MP3 and you want the volume to be consistent, just download the Levelator and you could just drag and drop your file on there and it'll even it out for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I don't have to use that, but there have been a couple of times when
right.
I needed it.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the nice things about GarageBand is it has, you know, podcasting is kind of integrated into it, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it definitely feels thrown in. They kind of threw it in right when the podcast craze was starting, but you can put your album art right there into it, and if you want to split up the tracks into chapters, you can, but then you're stuck with AC,
mm-hmm.
which
Well, we
really
talked
important.
About AC. I mean, at first we were like, oh, we'll do an AAC version and we'll do an MP3 version. And I was kind of leaning towards MP3s just mm-hmm. because I wanted it to be truly universal.
Right.
And I guess now I'm less inclined to do that, but MP3 is kind of what we've always done and it seems to work fine. Yeah,
I think it's the right choice because it lets our listeners, which I know we have a few out there that are on Linux, easily just, you know, use MP3. And I mean, you can get AAC working on Linux. I know it's not that hard, but you know, it just makes it simpler. It's mm-hmm. it's the standard, so, and you don't notice a big difference.
Right.
And we don't really want to stick, you know, special images throughout the podcast.
That's which, more work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We definitely wanted to keep, I guess our mantra was always, you know, we'll do it till it stops being fun.
Right.
Which so far, that's been, you know what, 10 months?
Yeah.
11 months?
So it's been fine. But, yeah, so you got a new mic recently, though.
Yes. This is the Rode N1T-A. And I got this because we wanted to start, you know, like last week we had a live interview.
Right.
Right here in the inside the podcast studio. And, you know, with Skype interviews, that wasn't necessary. But the first time we had a guest interview in the studio, it went okay, but Ryan and I were sharing a mic, and it was kind of like you either stay far back enough that there's kind of a distant echo, and you know, or you're pretty much just sitting on the other person's lap.
Right. We don't want to do either one of those.
Yeah. So I went ahead and got a mic, and I had some extra money, so I went up a grade just to see if it made a difference at all, and I'm very happy with it. I feel like it sounds a little bit crisper. You know, you guys may not notice it, but in my head, it was worth it. But the big thing I really liked is I got a larger stand.
Mm-hmm.
Because previously we had these little, you know, short tripod stands that just kind of the mic sits on top of almost. Has a little tilt to it, but this is like, you know, has several degrees of freedom. And so I can be leaning back in my chair if I want to and just kind of pull the mic towards me. And
that's nice.
It's very nice. It was well worth every penny I spent on it.
Yeah, we have, so as far as the actual venue, episodes 1 through 35-ish, 36?
That sounds about right.
Something like that. Those were all done at my old apartment. And the sound issues there were, the apartment was smaller, and we were right by the air conditioning unit.
Right.
On my kitchen table there. And so,
the refrigerator.
And the refrigerator. And so for podcast time, we had to turn off the fridge, turn off the freezer, and turn off the AC.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, you need to get home in time to pump enough AC
right.
into the room so that you don't roast, you know, in the hot summertime, you know, while the AC is off while you're doing the podcast.
But you also need to remember to turn the fridge back on.
Right. So there are many times, luckily there's never anything in my fridge, but there are many times when like the next day I would open up the freezer and the little bucket for ice is just full of water because it is all melted now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was always an adventure. And then not only that, but it was right by the road, and there mm-hmm. were, like, barking dogs and booming radios
right.
and police cars going by.
Well, and there's that one episode where we had the fireman,
the firefighter
parade.
Right.
Around Christmas, and we had to take a break for, like, 20 minutes.
Because it was just sirens,
yeah.
Nothing but sirens.
And that was really obnoxious. I don't know.
So since we've moved to the house here, kind of have a back room set up as a makeshift sound studio, and you probably have noticed we've not really backslid, but had sort of different issues here
mm-hmm.
with, you know, what table are we on, and we hear the air conditioning unit outside making a wah, wah, wah sound,
right.
You know, and so it's kind of starting from scratch about trying to iron out all the audio issues.
Well, and we've only been in here for, what, 3 episodes?
I think 3 weeks, yeah.
Because the first couple weeks, you know, you were still getting moved in, so we just set up on the table in the kitchen.
Right.
So, you know, we've only really had 3 episodes to iron this out, and last week we had the guest interview with...
Mm-hmm. With Phil.
With Phil, and that added, you know, another laptop and more power cables, and
mm-hmm.
so we had, you know, some extra noise in the room.
Right, and we are IT guys, but we're not sound engineers,
right.
So sometimes...
But I will say, you know, I'm so glad Ryan bought a house because now we don't have to set up every week. And if you're going to record a podcast and you want it to stay quick and easy, that's the way to do it, is have a room dedicated to it, because this has been really nice.
It is nice just to, at the end of the podcast, just hit save on GarageBand and then power the stuff off, turn out the light, and walk out.
Yeah.
You know, no rolling up power cords or rolling up microphone cables or, you know, putting it away.
And it's not like we have that much stuff, but it just gets tiresome.
Yeah.
You know, especially for you being the one who's hosting it, you know, you always end up getting stuck with putting the mixer away, and then you're also editing it later in the week, so it's like you have, you know, 2 or 3 days of podcasting to deal with. But.
Yeah, usually we try to record on Mondays. This week, you know, was it Labor Day?
Yeah, it was Labor Day. So
we didn't do yesterday, so this we're coming to you on a Tuesday now. But usually I try to do in the next, usually between 24 and 48 hours after we do it, I try to get it edited and pushed up.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on circumstances, sometimes it takes a couple days.
Yeah, and we had a hard time finding the right date. I mean, part of that was my schedule was changing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've talked about how we record on Mondays, and is that good or bad? Because, you know, Mondays are kind of a tough day for the IT employee.
You're right.
Because you're coming back and there's weekend issues to deal with, so... But overall, I think it's been pretty good to be on Mondays.
The only benefit, I think, really is that we tend to come out on a day maybe ahead of other news cycles for other tech podcasts.
Yeah, we still catch the weekend news,
so
that's nice.
So, I mean, it's a little bit of an advantage for us. And it gives us, you know, when you are having fun with it, it gives you a little bit of something positive to look forward to on a Monday. It's like, well, tomorrow's Monday, but at least tomorrow's the podcast.
Yeah, you know, that's true. The other thing we didn't mention equipment-wise is we both have some nice headphones that we use. And I'm not sure if everybody does that or not. I think it's pretty standard in, like, studios, which we're definitely not. But it helps me, at least, with hearing how loud I'm being or being able to monitor what I'm saying, if I'm sounding like a moron or if I'm smacking my lips too much. And there was a few weeks there where I left my headphones at home.
Yes.
And I had to use the...
crappy game headsets.
Yeah, and it definitely hurt my recording ability.
Yes, luckily you punished yourself enough.
I finally bought a set to leave here, which is working quite well.
Yeah, it is nice. But we appreciate, you know, all of our listeners sticking with us through our technical difficulties. And then I guess the last thing is some people have asked, well, are you ever going to go to video? Are you going to turn into a video cast? And we have kind of the equipment to do it, but I think, you know, you mentioned we do it till it's not fun.
Right.
Video introduces so many more issues with lighting and wardrobe and backdrops and just so much more. It's so much harder to edit.
Well, and, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but I know I personally have a face for radio. So... it's definitely to our listeners' advantage that we just stick behind with the audio.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing, too, is, I mean, if you, in an audio podcast, if I suddenly sneeze or, you know, a wombat crashes through the window and there's some sort of audio event, you know, we can always just stop, come back, cut it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, listeners can probably tell, but
it's not
obvious. Not distracting.
Right.
With video, it would be a total start over type thing. So, I don't want to rule out, I'm not going to say that we're never going to do any kind of a video project, but as far as Angry Admins, it'll probably always just be audio.
Yeah, we may do something else with video, but yeah, and you know, I guess probably one other thing to mention, the website, which, you know, hasn't changed much since we started, but it was a struggle at first deciding what to use as the back end. And, you know, our users may not even realize, but it is WordPress that we're using, which makes it nice because it auto creates the RSS feeds, and then we use a really nice plugin for WordPress called PodPress, which is what lets us create those nice inline audio players, and it also lets you customize what iTunes sees a little bit more on the back end without having to, you know, type that in every week. And so, you know, I really appreciate that project. You know, they update it pretty regularly, though I don't keep up with that because we ran into some troubles when I was updating all the time. Yeah, WordPress and PodPress together makes a pretty pretty nice little package for setting up a podcast.
It does make it really easy.
It makes it really easy.
Yeah, and then Joe did really good with pretty much hacking the whole WordPress thing so that when you look at it, you really can't tell that it's WordPress.
Yeah, that was a big goal for me. I mean, I really didn't want it to look like a blog or, you know, all the other sites out there.
and it just really works nice. I mean, I like the whole computer monitor theme, and I mean, if you're coming, if you're grabbing us off of iTunes, if you've never looked at the website, you owe it to Joe to just, you know, take a look at angryadmins.com and just go, oh, okay, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, and there's some things I'm hoping to do with it in the future. You know, you might see some actual valuable information up there besides the podcast. You know, the toolbox section has been kind of neglected, and I'm hoping to ramp up that a little bit more in the future. So
yeah. But like I say, this is kind of a give you a hint about sort of what we're using to do the podcast. Also, if you're interested in doing any podcasting, if you have any questions for us about our setup, our equipment, software, versions of stuff we're doing, or cabling or whatever, just feel free to shoot us email, and you know, we'd be happy to, you know, give you hints or kind of let you know if we've tried certain things. Or
yeah, definitely.
Because you know, the more podcasting that's out there, the better we all. Better off we all are, so.
That's right. Well, that is going to wrap up one more finely packaged, exciting episode of Angry Admins.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. Thanks again for listening. And as Ryan mentioned just a little bit ago, if you do have questions or comments, send those to feedback@angryadmins.com. And actually, if you have anything you're interested in that you want us to discuss for our main story, we welcome any advice. Or if you even, you know, say you're an expert on the topic and you want to do a guest interview, send us an email. Let us know. We always welcome any sort of user generated content because it makes it more exciting and we like that kind of thing.
Right. Plus it's less work for us.
That's right. Well, you know, that's the way everything's going now.
That's right.
But anyway, so website, go to the website, go to the forums, blah, blah, blah. That's really all we've got this week. And I want to thank everyone for listening again. My name is Joe Bibby.
My name is Ryan Necessary.
Stay angry.